Begin the current Daf Masechet Shavuos Daf Tezvav. Begin on the bottom of Yud Aleph Beis, second line up from the bottom of the Amud. But the Gemara continues explaining the halacha that which opened up our second parak Yediyas HaTumah. We're up until now in the first parak we were always discussing this halacha of Yediyas HaTumah Shtaim Shen Arba, which is in regards to four different areas: either a lapse of awareness of Kaidish or of Mikdash, or of Tumah in regards to Kaidish, or of Tumah in regards to Mikdash. Which the case description would always be: person became Tumah. Let's say he forgot that this is the Mikdash or that he was Tumah, and he goes into the Mikdash, and then he comes out, he realizes he did something wrong, he's got to bring a carbon el v'yared. The Mishnah described that actually the halacha implies Echad hanichnas la'azar v'chulu, whether someone goes into the Azara, or whether even if he was in the Azara and became Tumah over there, and then he delayed, as our Mishnah explained, and we'll explain to Gemara exactly what type of case is that described to. Now, v'chulu etc., which this halacha applies, Tumas Mikdash, includes the Azara, which is the courtyard of the Heichal, of the Beis HaMikdash itself, that and even the Tesef as Azara, what's added on to the Azara, even that has the Kedushas of the Azara, because as the Mishnah described, it has many different criteria in which the Torah ordained, and therefore it has the same Kedusha as the original Azara itself. On that, the Gemara says, Menan Mili, where do we know this from, that you need all these items mentioned in the Mishnah to have the Tesef as Azara, to add on to the Azara that should have that sanctity, which someone, if he's Tameh, goes into the Azara, the new Azara, will have to bring a carbon oil beard. Says the Gemara, because Amrav Shimi Bar Chiya, the Amakra, the Pasuk says in Shemais, that Hashem tells the Jewish people, like everything that I have shown you, is Tavnes HaMishkan, the structure of the temple, Vistavnes Kol Kelev, and the structure of all its utensils, as continued Tav Tezvav Med Aleph, Vechein Tassel Daris, and this is how you should do it for future generations. Which, that seems to be superfluous. What do you mean for future? What's L'dairis? What do you mean? This is what you should do. What does it mean, L'dairis? Obviously, it's going to be forever. And that is coming to say that the future generations should be the same as it is right now in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. Where Moshe Rabbeinu, as the Gemara says elsewhere, he was considered a king. So that's, and these are all the different criteria our Mishnah mentioned. He was also a Navi, a prophet. His brother was the Kohen Gadol who has the Urim V'Tumim. And there was the 70 elders, which is the Sanhedrin of Ayin Aleph. Additionally, this that the Mishnah said, it has to be Shtei Taidais, that is the Gemara is going to teach how we know from Nechemiah ben Chachalia. So therefore we have all the criterion that was there in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. Those are the things that our Mishnah mentioned. You need to have, even the Dairis, when we want to add on, also have to have those same criterion. Now, Masav Rav. Rav asked, however, from the following Brayso, that it seems that it's not true that the future generations doesn't have to be the same as it was in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Brayso says, Kol HaKelim Sha'asa Moshe, all the utensils, all the vessels that Moshe Rabbeinu made for the Mishkan, Meshichasan, anointing them with the Shem and the Mishka, which was a certain anointing oil, is Makat Shasan, is what gave it the physical sanctity as a Kli Sharis, as a service vessel, which therefore it sanctified anything that went into that vessel. But says the Braisa Mikam Ve'elach, from there and on, meaning the utensils that were made in later generations, less in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, they were not anointed. Rather, the beginning of Avedasin, of the service, of using them in actual service, is Mechan Chasin, is what then indoctrinated it into sanctity, where the word Chinuch means a terminology of beginning. So therefore, they weren't sanctified in the ways of days of Moshe Rabbeinu. By Moshe Rabbeinu, it was Meshem and Amishcha. Later generations, it was just using it, which gave it the Kedusha. And that asks Rava, Vamai, but why? The name of it, you should say, like you just said before, the Pasuk says, V'chein tasu l'dairis, that you should do this also for future generations. So just like you're saying that the Kedushas of the Azara has to have the same way it was done in the days of Moshe, so too the Kelim should have to be the same way. Why are you saying that there it's not with the Shem and the Mishka? So the Gemara no Shani Hasan, there by Kelim, by the utensils, it was different. Because the Amakra, the Pasuk says in Bamidbar, V'yim shochem v'yikadish oisam, that you should anoint the Kelim, and you should sanctify them. What's them? Them is an exclusionary term. Them and not something else. Eisim b'mashicha, they are anointed. V'leil adaris b'mashicha, but for future generations they're not anointed. Yeah, you're right. V'chein tas adaris says it should all be the same. But Kelim are different. And that is the Gemara. Why are you learning it like that? Why is the Braisa say that the future generations are not anointed? Eimo isim b'mashicha, but rather you should interpret the word of Eisam, say, in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, they had to be done with anointing and not with service. Not by doing avodah with it. L'dairis, in contrast to future generations, is oy b'mashicha, oy b'avodah. If they wanted, they could do with mashicha, or if they want, they could do with avodah. Why is it saying it's not with mashicha and only with avodah? Say that the contrast is that Moshe had to have mashicha, but they could choose mashicha or avodah. Adana Rapapi says no, because Amakra, the Pasuk says in Bamidbar, it says, Asher yeshosu bam b'kodesh, that they should be done in service in holiness. which Talah and Hakasa b'shiris, the pasuk considers it significant only with acts of service. And the reason why is because since the pasuk seems redundant, it calls it klei hasharis, the service vessels, asher yisharsu, which will be used in service. Which tells us, because it's only going to become klei sharis, only through shiris, only by avodah, and not through mashicha. And that is the Gemara, hashtu the kasar rachman asher yisharsu. So now this, the Rav Papa said that the pasuk already tells us it has to be mekudesh, it has to be sanctified in future generations only through shiris, through service. So then, isam lamali. So then, why do I need the first pasuk we brought, which is the exclusionary term that only by Moshe was through Mashiach, but future generations not? Of course not. We know from the other pasuk that future generations has to be done through shiras, with service, and not with Mashiach. Says the Gemara, Eloi kasar rachman isam. No, if we didn't have that first pasuk of isam, havamina, I would have thought to say, hani hu de Mashiach. In the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, they had to be anointed. L'dayres, in the future generations, be Mashiach uba avayda. I had to have both. Had to have Mashiach, because it has to be v'chintas l'daris, just like in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. And it needed also avodah, because like the pasuk says, b'sheiras. The hakasa v'chintasu. It says that so too you should do with Mashiach, and it says v'sharsu, which is v'sheiras. So you need to have both. That's what we're telling you, that no, mi'ad rachmona oisam, the pasuk is excluding in the terminology of them, which is oisam b'mashiach, only in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu is where you anointed, v'loy l'daris b'mashiach, and the future generations were not done with anointing, it's being excluded from Mashiach. Because if you weren't learned the way we're describing, then what would it be teaching us? If it's coming to tell us that the future generations, it's not going to be sanctified only with Mashiach, well then don't say anything, and we would know from Asher Yisharsu that the only thing it's telling us is that it has to be done with acts of service. The reason why it says it is because only acts of service and not with Mashiach, it's being excluded from Mashiach. Now the Mishnah told us additionally, is the b'shtei taidas. You have to have two karbanis taida utilized in the service of extending the azara, of sanctifying the additional parts of the city of Yerushalayim. Now, the Gemara says, Tanu Lina Braisa, actually, shtei taida sh'amah, this that we said in the Mishnah, that it has to be two karbanis taida, are belachman, are from the breads, every karban taida is brought with 40 breads, 30 matzah, 10 chametz, where it's you take two breads from two karbani taida, you take one bread from each one, but that's belachman v'loy b'besarin, that's from their breads and not from the meat. They would carry the bread of these two lachmi, of these two lachmi taida, and not the meat of the karban. Says Gemara Menon, where do we know that it was the breads? It's because Amar Rav Chisdi says, the Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, Nehemiah said this in Sefer Ezra, that when the walls of Yerushalayim were being built, and then the second time, the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, they were coming to sanctify the city, it says, Ve'amida shtei taidis gedayla, says Nehemiah, and that I put up two large taidis, Ve'taluches limin, and we went around to the right, Me'alochayma, above the wall, which was to make a circle around the city, and they went towards the right, and their face was facing towards the opening of the space of the city, and therefore they were constantly going to the right until they made a full circle around the city itself, which when they were coming to sanctify the city of Yerushalayim. Now the question is, my gedolus, what did the Nechemiah mean when he says I put up two large taidas? Generally, taida is the offering, a carbon of thanks offering. What does it mean? So it would sound like the carbon, the meat itself. But ilay mimimin gadol mamish. What does it mean that? But it was gadol. If you think it was from a large species, and he was talking about the meat itself, and what does it mean large? Meaning from a category that's large, meaning from cattle, from large animals, and not from flock, like sheep. If that's the case, then name a parm. It should have just said bulls, which are large animals. Why use such a vague terminology of gedayla? So, ella rather, what would you say? It means gedaylas beminon. Meaning, no, from the species that was brought, whichever one it was, let's say bakar or tzayin, whatever it was the largest of that species. They brought a large animal and not a small animal. And that asks the Gemara, why would that be significant to say? Why would Nechemiah be saying that? Mika chashivusa kamishmayu, do you think it's considered significant in front of heaven when you bring a larger animal from that carbon in contrast to a smaller one? But Vatanya, which actually Mishnah Masechtas Menachos that says, Nema ba'ilas behema. There's three types of karbanas oila one can bring. Oila is totally burned sacrifice on Mizbeach. It could be that of an animal. There it says, that it's a fire offering that's pleasing to Hashem. Then you can bring a carbon oila that's from a bird. There it also says Isherev Mechach. It says the same terminology of a fire offering that's pleasing aroma to Hashem. And then you have Bemincha, you have a flower offering, which is the cheapest of them all. It also says over the Isherev Mechach, it says the same terminology of a fire offering that's pleasing aroma to Hashem. What does that teach you? Whoever gives a lot or a little, it doesn't make a difference. As long as someone focuses his heart to his Father in heaven, whatever he could afford, whatever he could bring, is important. So what's the significance of saying a larger animal, small animal? That's not significant in front of Hashem. Rather, must mean the large ones of the Taida, and it must be talking about the breads, and not as a sign of chashivas, but as a way of qualifying and describing to you which types of breads. Because the main nihu, which one is the larger breads from the lachmei taida? It's the chametz ones. It's the ones that of the leavened ones. It's just coming to tell you that it's the one of chametz where they're the larger breads of the lachmei taida. That's not like mishum besachtos menachas. Mean to say something's bigger is not significant. But if you're using it as a qualifying term, that makes sense. Because the mishum besachtos menachas teaches that the chalos of the ones that are chametz are larger than the matzah ones, because it says as follows, it says, HaTayda, the carbon Tayda, its breads, HaYisabo min chamesh saw in Yerushalmis. It would come from a measurement of 5 Yerushalmi saw, which are Jerusalem measurements of saw, Shein Sheish Midbarius, which is the equivalent of 6 desert sawin. And the reason for that is because they actually increased the measurements a sixth externally, which they took the what would normally used to be 6 of the desert measurements. They then made that to be, if you would put it into, they split that up into 5 parts. They diminished, they made it bigger. The 5 is the same what used to be 6. And then they added on an external 6. So now it's much bigger. 6 sa'in in the desert used to be one size. Now in Jerusalem, it got bigger. Shehen shtei eifes, which that's the equivalent of 2 eifah. The reason for that is because of eifah shalosh sa'in. An eifah is 3 saw, so what we're talking about, 6 saw, are going to be 2 eifah, which that is esrim yisarin. That's 20 esrainis. And because an eifah is 10 esrainis, as the pasuk says in Shemos Tazayin, vo'imer asir sa eifah. So this eifah is 10 esrainim. So these 2 eifah are 20 esrainim. And what it comes out to be is asara l'chametz v'asara l'matzah. Half is going to be used for the chametz breads, and half is going to be used for the matzah breads, which turns out that you can have 10 esrainim for chametz and 10 esrainim for matzah. And the Gemara Maseches Menachos learns out from the pasuk where it says v'hikrav al zevach ha-taida, that you sacrifice for the carbon taida chalos matzis, which are belulis b'shemen. That's one type of matzah. Then you have rikiki matzis meshuchu b'shemen. That's a second type of matzah. Then you have silz mubeches chalos belulis b'shemen. That's a third type of matzah. Then it says after that al chalos lechem chametz yakrav, which is correlating, it's saying, correlating to the amount of matzah breads, that you're going to bring the same amount of dough and chametz breads, which is that the soilus, the flour from the chametz types, is the equivalent of all the 3 types of matzah breads. Now, as we just said before, the matzah shleisha minin, the matzah breads, there were 3 different types, and each type had 10 breads. You had chalos, rikikin, v'revucha. As the Gemara learns out from the Pesukim, that there were these 3 types. Additionally, every type had 10 breads. So you see that the chametz breads were as big as the 3 matzah ones. So obviously, each bread of the matzah one, of the chametz ones, which are just 10 breads, contrast, that's half the amount, and the other half was used for all those 30 breads of chametz, of matzah, because there's 3 types and each one has 10. So obviously the chametz breads are going to be much bigger. That's what the pasuk means when we're describing. Obviously it was breads, because if we're saying gedolos, you wouldn't qualify meat as gedolos. Bread is qualifying what type, which was the breads. And we said it was talking about the chametz types of breads. That's what the Mishnah means when it says shtei toides. It means the 2 breads of the lachmei toide. Now a similar halacha, that was describing the sanctification of the city of Yerushalayim. That was done with shtei toides. Amar Rama Muhammad says, however, in Hazar Miskadeshes, but the courtyard of the Beis Hamikdash is only sanctified, as we said with all those things, Melech, Navi, all the things, Ele B'Shiyari Mincha. But he said there wasn't with the Lachmei Taida, there was rather with the breads that were the leftovers of a flour offering which are eaten by the Kahanim. Now, In contrast, the Kiddush of Nehemiah and Ezra that we were speaking about, that was sanctification of the city. But the Azara, that when it's added on, then you have to do the Hekif, you have to do the circle around with the leftovers of a Kabbin Mincha. Says Gemara, my time, what's the reason? Ki Yerushalayim, just like we found the Pasuk of Nehemiah by Yerushalayim. My Yerushalayim, just like in sanctifying the city of Yerushalayim to add on, to make the Kedusha. Davar Nechel B'Mekacha, something that's eaten over there, which the breads of a carbon taida are eaten there in the city of Yerushalayim, can't be eaten outside, has to be eaten there. Af Azara Davar Nechel B'Mekacha, so to the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, something that's eaten over there is what sanctifies it. And the leftovers of a carbon mincha are eaten in the Azara. Now that has the Gemara, Atulach me toide bazar milo misachli. What do you think? The breads of Karban toide are not allowed to be eaten in the courtyard? If the Kohanim want to eat kachim, who's going to stop them from eating in the azar? What's the problem? Why can't we use lach me toide to sanctify the azar too? And rather, the Gemara qualifies a little bit more. It says, no, ki Yerushalayim, when we're comparing it to Yerushalayim, which is ma Yerushalayim, just like Yerushalayim, davan nechel ba v'yoytzim imenu nifzal, just like regards to when we sanctify Yerushalayim, the lach meitayda, is with something that's eaten in the city, and if it goes out of that area, it becomes possible, because those kachim cannot go out of Yerushalayim. Afazar, so to the court, it has to be something davan nechel ba, something that's eaten over there, v'yoytzim imenu nifzal, and if it leaves that perimeter, then it becomes possible. Which by a mincha, a flower offering, the Pasuk in Yukavav says, "B'chatzar oil moed yichlu." They have to eat it in the courtyard of the oil moed. If it leaves the courtyard, going out to Yerushalayim, it becomes pasul. In contrast, a carbon toida and its breads are eaten in the whole city of Yerushalayim. And if it leaves the walls of the city, then it becomes pasul. So therefore, Yerushalayim becomes sanctified with the lachme toida, which is eaten over there, and if it leaves, it becomes pasul. And the azara becomes sanctified with the leftovers of a carbon mincha, which is eaten only over there, and if it leaves there, then it becomes pasul. But the Gemara asks, so if we're learning out the Azara, how we sanctify it from Yerushalayim, so then we should continue the comparison and say, it's just like over there, as we described before from the Pasuk by Nehemiah, that it's the breads had to be the chametz breads, safkan chametz, so over here, the mincha, the leftover the mincha, which they kind of make breads out of, should also be from a chametz part of the mincha. And that's what the Gemara, but the Tizbra, is that logical? Mincha's chametz, do you think that there even is a flower offering made out of chametz? But the pasuk says, "Kol mincha shetkriv l'Hashem." Any flower offering which is sacrificed to Hashem, lo tiyava chametz. It can't be baked chametz. You can't have a chametz flower offering. Now, moreover, as the Gemara continues to make base of a chitim, and if you're going to say, you're right, the mincha is not a mincha's chametz, but the mechametz lo l'shirayim u'mekadosh bu. No, the mincha, the fistful, the flower offering, that's not chametz. But after that, the chametz was sacrificed. Then you're going to go ahead and you're going to take the leftover flowers, which are the shirayim, and you're gonna ferment it. Become yeasty, become chametz, and then sanctify the azara with that chametz shirayim. Because the pasuk is only particular before the fistful, the kemitzah was taken. It says you shouldn't sacrifice the fistful on the mizbeach if it's chametz, as it says at the end of the pasuk. Kol sar b'chol davash leisik tir. It's the haktorah part, but the remnants. What's the problem with that? And that says the Gemara, no, because v'ksiv, the pasuk says, loise of a chametz, you're not allowed to bake it chametz, leavened. And then it says, chelkam, their portion is what Hashem gives them. But Bamar Shlokish, he reads those words together. Says, you read it like, loise of a chametz chelkam, which is, afila chelkam loise of a chametz. No, even the portion of the Kehanim, their leftovers, which they eat, which is the leftover after the fistful is sacrificed on Mizbeach, even that they cannot bake as Mizbeach. So therefore, you can't have a chametz, and therefore we're not comparing that to the kedusha of the azara from the kedusha of Yerushalayim. Which the Gemara asks, alam aloy, why not? What do you think? It's not possible to sanctify the azara with a mincha of chametz, but efshar, you could, because the mekadosh b'shtei alechem b'atzeres, you could sanctify with the two breads that are brought as a carbon on Shavuos, which they're chametz. As the pasuk says, "Mikhav gimel chametz teyafenda." Those are baked chametz, which they're brought with the karbanis of a teres of shvuas of those shlamim. So here also, you could have breads which could be used as chametz to sanctify the hazara. Says the Gemara, "No mishum de leafshim." It's not possible to use those shtei halechem of a teres in the sanctification of an additional building part of the hazara, because heichanavid, how could we do it? Nivne mi etmol, if you'll say, we'll build it Erev Shavuos, Erev Yom Tov. We'll make that addition then. V'nikatshi mi etmol, and then we'll take the breads which are already baked, and we're going to sanctify that addition Erev Shavuos. But that's not possible, because Shtei Alechem, the two breads of the Shtei Alechem, Peshchitas Kavasim Hudikachi, they only become sanctified as the Shtei Alechem, which you need to have Shtei Alechem, a carbon itself, only become sanctified with the slaughtering of the sheep that it comes with on Shavuos. Because although that the Shtei Alechem are brought from the Trumas Halishka, from the money fund that's used to buy Karbanos, but that's only a monetary sanctity. The physical sanctity, which let's say if it leaves its area, it becomes possible, which we said that's the criterion of sanctifying an area, that sanctification only gets it when you slaughter the two Kivsatzeres, the two sheep of Shavuos, which those breads are ancillary and come with them. Because as we learned it out actually from the Lachmi Toida, where when you slaughter the carbon taida, the breads become sanctified with it, as the Gemara says in Menachas Avayin Chesem Abayis, Kol Banai Al Zevach Taida Shlamav, which teaches that the breads only become sanctified to be called a carbon only with the slaughtering of the carbon taida. Here also, the slaughtering of the kvasim is what sanctifies the bread, and the sheep are only slaughtered on Yom Tov itself. So you can't go ahead and sanctify the area with those breads Erev Yom Tov when the breads are not sanctified yet. So what are you going to say? Okay, so Nivni Me'etmol, let's build the area Erev Yom Tov. V'nekatche Idna, and then on Yom Tov, when we have the bread sanctified because we slaughtered the Kivsetzeres, then we'll sanctify it then. You can't do that either, because Be'in Kiddush B'Shas Abinyan. You have to have the sanctification, which is done with the Lachmei, with the breads itself, at the time of the building. The building was yesterday, and the sanctification is only today. So what are you going to say? Okay, Nivni B'Yom Tov. Let's build it, let's conclude the building of the addition to the Azara on Yom Tov, and in the Kachab Yom Tov, and then we'll sanctify it on Yom Tov when you have the Shtei HaLechem that are Kaddish on Yom Tov. Can't do that either, because Ein Binyan Mikdash Shtei Yom Tov. You can't build an area in the temple to do Malacha on and violate the laws of Malachas on Yom Tov. As the Gemara says in Yevamos in the first paragraph of Vav Medav, you would think the building of the Beis HaMikdash overrides the Isra of Shabbos. As the Pasuk teaches, Eshab Soisei Tishmayru, safeguard my Shabbos, Umikdashi Tiro, and fear my temple, Ani Hashem. What does that mean? Which Hashem is saying, everyone has to honor me. You, the temple, are all there to serve my honor. Where I am the one who said you should keep Shabbos, and Yom Tov also called Shabbos. And therefore the building of the Beis HaMikdash does not override Hashem's Shabbos. So, what are you going to say? Okay, Nishavke, let's leave the bread, Lebasar Hachi. Let's leave it until the next day, to the day after Yom Tov, to Yisru Chag. V'nivne v'nikachi. Then let's build it the day after Yom Tov and sanctify with the Shtei Alechem is already sanctified on Yom Tov. But then, if Salabalina. But then the bread's already not Kaddish anymore. They already became invalidated by being left overnight, which they became nicer, which, because a carbon, the Shtei Alechem are from those which are only eaten for a day and a night. By the time it's the next day, it's already possible. So what are you going to say? Okay, Nivnim Imalu Yoyma. Let's do the main building before Yom Tov. V'nishayi Be'Purta. Let's leave a little bit over. Let's not finish the building before Yom Tov. The Ad, the Kaddish Yoyma, where until it just finishes the Yom Tov of Shavuos, it's right away, just got dark on Matzah Yom Tov, La'alter Nigmari, then let's immediately, right after Yom Tov finishes, conclude the building. V'nikache, and then sanctify it at nighttime, before midnight, which is still a time when you can still eat the breads of the Shtei HaLechem, and that would be a perfect time. It's still holy, it's not Yom Tov anymore, and then you finish the building then at night. Says the Gemara, no, that's not an option either, because Ein Binyan Beis HaMikdash Balayla. You can't build an area in the temple at nighttime, because Abaye says, Minayin She'ein Binyan Beis HaMikdash Balayla. How do we know that there's no building in the Beis HaMikdash at nighttime? Shneimak, it says the Pasuk in Bamidbar, Uvayoyim Hokim Es HaMishkan, and on the day when he puts up the Mishkan, which Bayoyim Akimi, you can only erect it during the daytime, but Laila Ein Akimi, you can't erect, you can't build at nighttime. Says the Gemara, That's what we said. It's not possible to find a situation of sanctifying the Azara with a flower offering. That's chametz. Rather, it has to be with matzahs. Although by Yerushalayim, it is possible, like we said, you take the lachmei toida and you use that for the sanctification of the city of Yerushalayim. But an Azara, something that's only eaten there and not eaten out of that, which is not the case by lachmei toida, we said we don't have an option because a mincha we can't have because you can't make the chametz. And even the shtei lechem, as we just described, is not feasible either. And therefore, it's matzah and it's not chametz. Now, the Mishnah said additionally what has to be done in the procedure of sanctifying the area has to be ubishir, with song. This explains the Gemara, what does that mean? Turn up on the Braisa, shir shal taida. It's the song of the thanks which they would say over there, bikinoires, with harps, with nevalim, with lyres, with tzaltzalim, and with cymbals. And what's the song of thanks? It's perik kuf in Tehillim, which is mizmer l'saida, the song of thanks, which they would sing this and play this, Al Kol Pina Pina, on every corner, Al Kol Evan Gedol L'Shem Yerushalayim, on every great stone in Yerushalayim. They would play song, and they would do this in the procedures, in the procession of sanctifying the area. V'aymer, and they would say the pasuk in Tehillim, Arimim Hashem, I shall elevate you, Hashem, ki dilisani v'gayme, because you have lifted me up, which this is Mizmer Shir Chanukah Sabayis in Tehillim, and that's why they said it, because it's the song of Chanukah Sabayis, of the dedication of the temple, which is what they're doing when they're adding on to the building of the city of the Beis HaMikdash. And additionally, they would say, V'shir shel pegoyim, which pegoyim is that when one encounters an element of harm, which refers to shadim, to demons, to mazikin, there's a song that protects one from mazikin, which is Yesha B'Seser Elyon. And it's because Moshe Rabbeinu said this when he erected the Mishkan, as the pasuk says in Shmos Lamates, says Vayivarch Oisem Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu blessed the Jewish people. What did he bless them? He said that let it be the will that the divine presence rest in your handiwork. And he says Vihinoyim Hashem Alekeinu Leinu, let it be the pleasantness of Hashem our God to be on us, which is part of Yesha B'Seisa, as it's brought in the Brayso Teres Kainim, which is one of the 11 Mizmorim that Moshe Rabbeinu said in Sefer Tehillim, which starts with Tefillah Moshe and goes up until the end of Mizmor L'Seida. Now, V'Yeshem, some say that actually Yesha B'Seisa is not called Shir Shel Pegoyim, it's called Shir Shel Negoyim, the song of afflictions, which is a nega of tzaras. Now, Mandam Dinagam, the one who says it's called the Shir of a nega, because the Sefer says in the Pasuk over there, V'Nega Le'ikim Balecha, that a nega, affliction, should not come near to your tent. So that's why it's called a protection from the goyim. Mandam Pugam, the one who says it's the song of protecting against mazikin, is because the chesiv says over there in the pasuk, Yipul mitzidcha elef, it shall fall from your side 1,000, which refers to the mazikin that's around the person. Now, moreover, continues the brisa of the Omer, they would say, as we're saying, Yeshu b'seisa elyon, the one who dwells above in hiding, b'tzel shadi yisleinen, in the shadow of Shakai, there's rest, Ad, until the pasuk ki ata Hashem machzi, because you Hashem, you're my refuge. Elyon samt b'necha, you place your abode up above. B'chayz v'ayim, and then they go back and they say, Mizmer l'David, a song for David, b'varch b'nei Avshalom b'noi, a perkin tehillim, when he fled from Avshalom his son, where he said, Hashem mo rabat tzari, Hashem, how great are my tormentors. Now, Since it says over there in that parak of Tehillim, Rabim Oimir Milanavshi, many people say to my soul, Ein Yeshuas or Leibelikim Selah, he has no salvation from God forever, because the reason why they said this when they were Mekadesh, the city of Yerushalayim, then in the times of Ezra, is because the tormentors of Yehuda and Binyamin were scorning them. Because when the Jewish people came up from the exile in the times of Ezra, they were building the wall, as it says in the Sefer Nechemi Paragimel, the scoffers of the non-Jews were saying, what are these lowly Jews doing? What do they think? They're going to make the rocks come up from the dirt, from the dust? In other words, that the Jewish people, the walls have collapsed, it was already destroyed. What do they think they're doing? In other words, they have no hope. And that's what this parak was coming to say, that no, people say well, there's no salvation in Hashem, ad until la Hashem HaYeshua, for Hashem is the salvation, alamcha v'chasecha, on your people there should be your blessing, selah forever, saying that no, we do have hope, and that's why they said this in when they renewed the sanctity of Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash in the times of Ezra, of the second Beis HaMikdash after Golas Babel. Now the Gemara tells us, Yishuv ben Levi amar lehu lahanikra, he would say these psukim of the Shir Shel Pegoyim of Yeshua B'Seser, and Vagani. And when he would go to sleep at nighttime, he would say this parak of Yesha B'Seisa. Says the Gemara, Hecha Rav Hachi, how did he do this? But V'amri B'Shem Levi, he himself says the following halacha. Asalis rapis b'divrei Torah. It's forbidden to heal oneself with words of Torah. Here he's using this words of Torah, of Tanakh, to heal himself, to protect himself. Says the Gemara, L'hagin Shani, to protect is different. When one is ill and then to heal, that's a problem. But to protect, defense, that's okay. So ask the Gemara, Ve'eliki amar aser, but, so what are you saying? But when are you saying that it is a problem to say it? The ikamaka, when there is already a wound, when the person's already ill, and then he's saying these incantations, psukim of Torah, to heal himself, that's where Rabbi Shimon Levi says that's forbidden. But that asks the Gemara, id ikamaka, but then if you're talking about that there's a wound, then aser, that's where Rabbi Shimon Levi is saying that then it's only forbidden, vesuloi, but it's nothing worse than just a violation of an iser. But Vatnan, learn the Mishnah Sanhedrin that says, Haloiches alamaka, if someone incantates on a maka, and he says, let's say the Pasuk, Kalamachla Shasamtim Mitzrayim, that any illness Hashem says that I put on Mitzrayim, I'm not going to put on you the Jewish people, and the person's whispering that on his wound. Ein lechel goyim abba, doesn't have a portion of the world to come. So how can you say just an Isser, he has no portion of the world to come? And that says the Gemara, Nahayid Ma'aloh, we said on that halacha, Amr B'yuchin, he explained, Bereikik Shanu. It's talking about where he first spit, and then he's Leichish, then he says the Pasuk. And the reason why that's so wrong, that he doesn't have a portion of the world to come, is lafishein maskirin shem shemayim al erkiku, because you don't mention the name of Hashem on spittle. And here he's saying in the pasuk, ani Hashem refecha, he's saying the name of Hashem, I am Hashem your healer. That's why he has no portion of the world to come. But Rish Lakish, Reb Shuban Levi's halacha was talking about when there's a makkah, but there's no spittle, there is just an iser. But again, but if someone's not even ill yet, like going to sleep to protect himself, then it's permitted to say a pasuk in the Torah. Now the Mishnah said that in the procession is bezin mahalchim, the court goes, or we're going around, let's say, the city. V'shtei toides achrein v'chula, and the two breads of the toide are behind them, and all the Jewish people behind them. Ask the Gemara, lememer the bezin kami toide azli, the way one would read the Mishnah, it sounds like that the court goes in front of the breads of the toide. But that, as the Gemara of but the Pasuk Nehemiah says, v'yelech acharei hem, and they went behind them, meaning behind the breads, was Hishaya, and v'chatzi sar Yehuda, and half of the lords of Yehuda. So we see that the breads went first, and then the courts and the Jewish people went after that. So says the Gemara, you're right, hachikam, this is what that Mishnah is saying. Bezdin mahalchim, says that the court goes. Now, v'shtei toides mahalchis, and also it says that the two breads of the toide go. Now, although one generally reads it, v'shtei toides mahalchis acharehem, no, it's v'shtei toides mahalchis, and ubezin acharehem, and the court is behind the bread. So it's breads, the court, and then the Jewish people after them. Now the Gemara says, Ketz mahalcha. So how did the two breads go? So it's actually machlokes, Reb Chiya, Reb Shimon, Rebbe. Chad amar zu keneged zu. One says that actually they were side by side. The two kanim were holding the breads were standing side by side as they were going around the perimeter. Chad amar, one says, no, zu achar zu, one after the other. So the Gemara explains. Man damar zu keneged zu, the one who says that they were side by side. So we described in the Mishnah, we said that the penimis is necheles, the outer one is burnt. So what's the inner one? According to the one who says they were side by side, the panimis, the inner one, is hachta makarba l'chaim, is the one that was closer to the wall. That's the inner one, because that's the one between the people and the wall. Mandam is zuachazu, the one who says they were one after the other, hapanimis is hachta makarba l'bezin. The inner one is the one who's near the court, who is behind them, so that's in the middle, because the outer one is the one in the front, the middle one is the second bread, and because what's behind him is the Jewish people. Now, on that the Gemara asks, but Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah as follows. It said, Hapanimis Nachalas, the inner bread is eaten. Vachatzainis Rebbe, the outer bread is burnt. So the Gemara asks, Bishlam Elamandam Azuachazu, we understand according to the one who says that they were one after the other. Samati Lahachi, Panimis Nachalas, we understand why the inner one is the one that's eaten. Why? Shem the Asichitzainu Kamo Vikichala, because the outer one already went in front of it. It already sanctified the area, because the first bread is going, and as it's going, it's like, so to speak, sanctifying the area. When the second one comes after it, it's not possible in what's called yaitzin, going out of an area of sanctity, because it never went in an unsanctified area, it was only going in sanctified area, because the first bread is what sanctifies it. So we understand why the second bread, the first one, is going in an unsanctified area. It's possible, it has to be burnt, but the second one is going in sanctified. But El Manda Mazuka Negadzu, but according to one that says they were side by side and they're going together around in the circle. So Tavaya Bahadi Adode Kumakachi. So they're both going together and sanctifying the area. They're both sanctifying together. So either they both should be eaten or they both should be burnt. Why is the outer one burnt and the inner one eaten? To which Gemara responds, wait, Ol Tamech, according to your reasoning that you're asking the question, Lamanda Mazuachazu, the one who says that the one after the other, Chadami Mikacha, do you think that the one bread who is on the outside is sanctifying the area by itself? But our Mishnah said that whatever is not done with all these things that to go in the area like that, in other words, if let's say someone goes into an area in the state of Tum, we said in the Mishnah, that wasn't sanctified with every one of these things, one is not liable. Obviously, you need all of them. You see that this one bread is not itself going to sanctify it. Now, moreover, says the Gemara of Afilaman Dama, even according to the opinion which the Gemara mentions later, that says when our Mishnah says kol elu, it means ba'achas mikol elu, it means any one of these things, meaning you either need the melech, or the kohen gadol, or the navi, or the sanhedrin, or the two breads, but still, hani, these two breads of the karmen ta'idabat, tarvayu, both of them are needed, because both of them are chadam mitzahi, they're both one element. It's not that each one of the breads is separate, so how can you even say, even according to the one who says that there was two breads, one in front of the other, it still doesn't make sense why the second one is eaten, because it's still both breads that are sanctifying it, so they both should be eaten, or both should be burnt. Elohim Rechon, rather Rechon says and explains as a Ketanet of Tezayin Medalef, Al Pi Navi Nacheles, you're right, we don't understand the reasoning. It was based on the prophets that this one was eaten, Val Pi Navi Nesrefes, and it was based on the prophets that the outer one was burned, because At that time, there was Chagi, Zechariah, Malachi, who were prophets, and it was based on their word through Ruach HaKodesh, divine inspiration, that they did it like that. But there's no reason that we understand why that is, because doesn't understand, according to any opinion, why the outer one should be burnt and the inner one should be eaten. But that was based on the divine prophecy that they had from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the outer one should be burnt and the inner one should be eaten.